Hey, welcome to another episode of Sales Burrito. You know, 2020 has been a punch in the stomach for most of us. Want to know the secrets of successful sales engineers selling virtually during lockdown? Stay tuned. We're about to tell you all about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs, with your hosts, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Hey folks, and welcome back. This is the second episode of Sales Burrito. It's your co-host, Dave Siles, and with me, as always, is my buddy, Enrique Barreto.
Enrique Barreto sponsoring the Princess Leia look. Look at this. There's nothing better than a bald guy with two things coming out of. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm going for the winking pirate motif here with the for those listening, you can picture I only have one eye open right now because I had some eye surgery this past week, and so I'm still recovering. But we're great to be back. We had great feedback from the first episode. We appreciate everybody who's subscribed in all the platforms. We had over 640 streams in the first episode, so a great way to kick it off, and we're looking to build on top of that. So, you know, as we were going through the feedback we got from people, people were like, yeah, it's a great start, but why don't you tackle one of the most pressing topics is, you know, how are you selling and dealing with selling in the new pandemic climate that is COVID? And we thought, yeah, you know, that's a great topic. So, you know, let's take a dive into that, because really, as I look back on this year, I mean, I've gone from doing 150,000 miles a year to really zero. But at the same time, I went from doing, you know, 10 to 15 meetings a week to 30 plus. So it really has been, you know, absolutely unreal in the almost immediate change in the dynamic. How about for you, buddy?
Listen, man, it is surreal. I can tell you that personally, I used to get on planes like getting a cab or getting an Uber, right? And now, and I'm seeing myself doing more work than when I was on the plane. To your point, I personally believe that it's doubled the amount of work that I'm doing. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the windshield time that I used to have in an airplane or whatever, but I feel like people are more engaged, but there's more of that connection that others want to do, for sure, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, as I look at it, you know, I recognize the fact that, you know, we miss the human connection component, getting face to face with our customers. But, you know, really the productivity has been, you know, kind of really eye opening. And I think, you know, just from the fact of the productivity that we're having and, you know, the impact it's having on the business, you know, I almost think this is going to be part of the new normal. And I think it's really kind of here to stay. It may not be, you know, completely virtual all the time. You know, I think people are going to have the human dynamic come back in, but you know, I think with the way we've, you know, been selling traditionally, is going to morph. You know, it's going to embrace this this wonderful world of video conferencing, you know, that really has been around for a long time. So, yeah, I think it's just come around and fully found its footing in the industry.
Well, if there's one thing that hasn't changed, Dave, is this: quotas. I mean, the expectation is this. I mean, while the pandemic has been going and whatnot, quotas are still the same. So it, you know, we're still expected a sales engineer to overachieve. So we're not in this for making 100% of our number. We are expected to do over 100% of our number. So
yeah, absolutely.
So do you think that, are you seeing a shift that is allowing others to sell more in this pandemic, particularly sales engineers? What is it that you're seeing in the macro as you're talking to, you know, Fortune 100 companies and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, for the sales engineer, things have changed. Some things have stayed the same. Quota definitely has. I don't know anybody who's got quota relief. Mm-hmm. You know, on the customer side, there's definitely been a dynamic change. I mean, some customers can't even get in their buildings, can't get in their data centers anymore. So, you know, you can't shut down operations. It's really, you know, it hit the gas on accelerating this digital transformation and the shift to more, you know, cloud computing. I mean, I can't say that, you know, customers are going 100% cloud because of it. But, you know, really, you know, this whole shift of seeing the data center and being in the data center has gone to the model of what can we do dynamically? What can we do in, you know, OpEx versus CapEx models? And, you know, how can we operationalize and still serve their business, you know, with, you know, the speed they need to transform at? And, you know, with COVID, WC, it's changed the C-suite's perspective on, you know, how they have to take these plans that they've been looking at and accelerate them. You know, it's not the fact that, you know, companies were sitting on these plans waiting for a pandemic. They just, you know, had to adapt. And this has been a catalyst for driving it forward.
I agree with you. I'm seeing personally in the field, I'm seeing more OPEX and CAPEX, kind of like what you're describing. I'm seeing a lot of subscription-based selling. And quite frankly, you know, not to put a moniker in this, but is if you have a credit card and a cloud portal, you're pretty much good to go, right? I believe that during the pandemic, a lot of the C-suite executives are, you know, have gotten accustomed to consumer products such as a cell phone. So they're looking for that instant gratification. It is the syndrome of what I call, I want it now and I don't care how. Basically, they're accustomed to pressing a button, things are going to work magically. And that is what I'm seeing from a pressure perspective on IT managers, for example, you know, organizations and whatnot. So it is, I will say that fortunately, unfortunately, right, you know, obviously there's been, you know, there's been some unfortunate death with the pandemic around the world and whatnot. But all this stuff has been the gasoline to driving digital transformation.
Yeah, it absolutely has. I mean, I want to be real, though. I mean, obviously, there are customers that, you know, had deals that we were working overnight. It's completely evaporated. I mean, certain industries obviously have been shut down by this. The airlines, you know, cruise industry, hotels, and you know, theme parks, et cetera. I mean, it really has been an impact. But at the same time, you know, not everybody is going through that. Some businesses are booming. I mean, it's, you know, it really is changing, you know, businesses and putting some businesses out of market. Some businesses are creating new markets. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening because of, you know, this unnatural shift that had to happen.
Absolutely. And there is a natural force on these companies to really evaluate what's important to them, right? What's necessarily the core needs versus the wants, you know, to put it in a different perspective. Are you selling vitamins or pain relievers, right? So one of the things that a lot of organizations that we work, sales organizations that we work, right? We often go into a virtual POC. Well, it started first with doing physical POCs because, as you know, everybody, their prospects, for some reason, they like to touch and feel. They want that to you, for you in their data centers.
And they or want they want the free lunch.
Yeah, they want, well, it, that's also, I mean, obviously my body talks about free lunch. I've probably lost weight. So I need this to be over so I can eat, right? But to your point, right, we're now shifting to virtual POCs. We also are doing some unique techniques such as reference selling. You know, one of the tricks that I learned early on in my career when I joined as a sales engineer was, you know, to use reference selling as one of my key weapons or arsenal in the tool bag of getting that prospect converted from a prospect to a customer. So the way that I would do it is, you know, in my patch, I knew if I did, I personally did installations or I personally sold something, if I did a good job, I build within that account what is called a champion. That's for another episode. So stay tuned on that champion. But the reality is that as I'm building that list, I'm getting first name, last name, title, telephone number, not just the main telephone number of the company, but their direct line. And I would go as I'm, you know, whether it's doing a presentation or doing a demo after that, and I would say, Mr. Prospect, all these slides and demos are great, but, you know, you probably may have some doubt on what I'm showing you on this first call pitch or session. What I have here is a list of my customers that you can feel free to review and call whatever you like. Now, I used to do that in a laminated page where I would come in and basically show it on the, you know, in the conference room. But now I am doing it on an Excel spreadsheet or something that I can show online. Because IT is a very small industry, the chances that they're going to recognize somebody within the vicinity of my territory, because I'm covering a patch, they're very high. So it allows me to move forward that opportunity to closure. And again, email is not enough. So if you're creating that spreadsheet that has a first name and last name, don't be lazy. Don't just put the email in of that individual. Put a cell phone, put an office desk. That way they know that there's credibility on that information. What say you, Dave?
Yeah, man, that's absolutely a great point. I think, I always say it, they say marketing is better than we say marketing any day of the week. Yeah, when I can get a customer selling for me, I shut up, right? I mean, a customer who has already gone through it, made the decision to invest in your product, I mean, they're going to be a better salesperson than you're ever going to be because, they can relate. They've walked a mile in those shoes. And especially if it's a customer, like you say, it's in their area. They understand. They know that customer. They're relatable. They can say, Joe went through the same decision and made this decision to make the investment in this product. I feel good about it. It's like the old saying, no one ever got fired from, buying IBM. Maybe today, but
that's right.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, right? Reference selling, I absolutely think it's a great idea. I think as we look at it, there's obviously techniques that not only you need to use on the selling side, but you have to take and personalize, in this model of working from home. And one of the things that I've learned, kind of key through this whole shift is time management. And, long gone are the days of me having the ability to have some windshield time to catch up on items. And so, I've re-internalized the fact that time management is absolutely key. I mean, very early on in my career, I learned the principle of the 4 Ds, the do it, defer it, delegate it, delete it. And it's a very simple way of looking at it. But, if I could tackle it within 5 minutes, I would just do it and take care of that issue. If it's something I personally had to deal with and it's going to take more than 5 minutes, I'd defer it to, my work block time in the day. If I had someone on my team, that I could pass it off to and I knew I threw it over to them, and she's going to take care of it and it's going to be off the table and that customer's going to be serviced, I'd delegate it. And if it's something that really didn't need my time and it's just taking up space in my inbox, I'd delete it. Right. So, those kind of four principles, come full circle and, managing time has become key. One of the things I know that you do that I think it's kind of interesting, especially trying to schedule with you on your calendar. I go to put something on your calendar and it's like, Enrique is not available. This is outside the working hours. I'm like, that's pretty smart. And I know you use some pretty cool tools in your life to manage. I think it'd be very interesting, for our audience to hear kind of how you manage your calendar and, how you're doing the work-life balance.
No, absolutely. Thanks. So I use a couple of tools. So, obviously within the organization that I work with, we use G Suite, right? Within G Suite or Google Suite, the calendars, you have the ability to set your working hours. It doesn't, so I have it set up as exactly like that, working hours from one period to another. It doesn't mean that I'm binary zeros and ones and say, no, I will never work after my working hours. It just allows you, just like you said, when somebody's booking someone, it creates that intuitive or cognitive look at my calendar and said, oh, I better not put something here because he put it for one purpose, right? But, constantly with people such as yourself, if you want to talk to me, we're constantly in communication. We jump in a video conferencing call, whatnot, right? One of the other things that I also do a lot is I will create either blocks of time where my teams can book time with me. So maybe that instead of creating one-on-ones all the time and is repetitive weekly, maybe I create a block where my SEs can actually put time and they know, or my calendar knows, hey, that block of time is for SEs to actually go in and ask for things. And lastly, one product that I use a lot, and you know this, how many times we get the, from external, customers, prospects, alliances, whatever it is, hey, what time do you have available, right? So I use a product called Calendly, which allows me to create 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and 60 minutes slots, and I send a URL link to them, and from there, they're able to see my calendar and then pick a time. That way, that game or ping pong of, are you available at this time or at this military time or whatever it is, that way it's gone. So it simplifies things tremendously, man.
Yeah, it's very smart. It's one of the things I think I've learned from you that I'm going to start using. I mean, I'm to the point now where I'm putting lunch on my calendar because there's been a few weeks here recently. I've gotten to the 5 o'clock mark and been, I'm out of gas. And I start thinking back over my day. I'm like, I never took a lunch. You know, it's like,
yeah, gotta eat, gotta eat, gotta take time to take care of yourself, man.
That work-life balance, you know, you absolutely need to still plan that you time, you know, otherwise you're just going to go crazy. And, you know, I think, you know, it came naturally when I was traveling and I had that in the workday, you know, whether it was at the airport, you know, that 2-hour drive in the rental car. And, you know, without that being gone, it's just, you know, it's really kind of just changed the dynamic. And, you know, I've learned that you got to plan that back in. I've also learned that you got to have a comfortable chair now. You know, one of the interesting things that I've learned is, you know, the office setup is very key. I mean, it's not only the impression that you're going to make, but, you know, obviously it's your office. And I think, you know, I've been very fortunate in my career. I've always had a pretty comfortable home office. You know, I know that's not the case for a lot of people. Some people are now working out of the back closet because, you know, they got the kids at home too doing schooling. And so really figuring out that good office setup and, you know, comfortable chair, good lighting, you know, the webcam, because, you know, you want to make that good first impression. You know, I think, you know, it's important. I think as this dynamic continues, you know, I think the work from home dynamic is going to be there. So, you know, I think it'll start coming into a lot more planning, but I found that, you know, some companies, you know, ours included, you know, very flexible in terms of recognizing the fact that, you know, not everybody was planning to work from home and that they had this shift and, you know, some of the benefits that are there to take advantage of outfitting your home office and, you know, taking advantage of that you have as well. And yeah, you know, something I think it's just kind of key that, you know, something you don't think about, but you have to plan for. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, truth be told, I am on my second chair since the pandemic started in March. I mean, I have the broken chair is still in my garage. I got to take it, you know, to be disposed environmentally friendly and whatnot. But there's another topic of this that is kind of important. With a lot of the changes and restructures that have been going in different organizations, whether it's a furlough, whether it's a, you know, the removal of a position, there's a lot of anxiety because often as humans, we're trying to control our future, right? And, you know, control is it's an illusion, as we know, right? But we're humans. We're going to always try to control that destiny. We can forecast, but we can't control the outcome, right? So it is very important to have a community of team players within your organization that you can rely and trust to talk about it, to be able to talk about, you know, worries, issues, and whatnot. I know, Dave, that, you know, you as a mentor of me for many, many, many years, I've used you as the Dr. Phil. You don't look like Dr. Phil, but I do call you my Dr. Phil because sometimes I have to actually express what I'm feeling in a way that, you know, maybe my spouse or other will not be able to really understand. So if you're out there listening and you're one of the awesome sales engineers that are listening to this podcast and you don't have anybody like that, reach us through Twitter, through @SalesBurrito. Either Dave or myself will be glad and happy to actually talk to you and be that doctor feel for you if you need it.
Absolutely, yeah. And the DNA test came back in. You are not the...
Isn't that Maury Povich?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. See, that's how much daytime TV I get in my life, my friend. Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things. But absolutely, you know, the social health, mental health, absolutely important. So, you know, plan it in your calendar, take the time for yourself. But yeah, if you absolutely need something, reach out. I mean, we're here for the community as a whole, and we want to give back.
Now, let me ask you this, you know, in speaking and going back to, you know, selling virtually, right, and making a good job on selling virtually, what are some of the tools that you can share with the audience? I can tell you that one of the things that I hear from you all the time is, you know, get away from boring PowerPoint with voiceover, right? Be able to actually have some leading with a story. Is that, you know, is that being effective for you? What's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I hate PowerPoint with a passion. I'm not going to say we can't get away from PowerPoints 100%. It's just never going to happen in our industry. But that said, you know, it doesn't have to be a throw up and show up. I mean, the beautiful thing that I've learned in this new modality is when you have the ability to connect with a person, you know, turn on your video, you know, give them that human touch, you know, 9 times out of 10, unless, you know, the customer is, you know, in that bedroom with 3 people behind them and the kids running around like crazy, they'll turn the video on as well. And, you know, it's kind of gives you the ability to connect on a level that you don't necessarily get when you're in that office dynamic. I've had the ability to see kind of, you know, these home offices and, you know, kind of what's important to them, what's on the shelf behind them, you know, their high school team, you know, what they're passionate about, you know, the big mouth bass that's mounted on the wall. It gives you some conversation starters, but it also gets you to get out of that, you know, personal selling dynamic and, you know, build that connection, because people buy from people, you know. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that I've taken away absolutely. The other one is, you know, take advantage of your product. If you've got a compelling product and you can demo it, you know, get away from PowerPoint, show the product. You know, even better, one better is when you can get hands-on and let the customer then take over and drive. You know, screen sharing is great. I mean, you know, Zoom, you know, pass it over and let them start playing with it. I mean, one of the things that I've taken away recently watching customers drive the product demo that we have and watching them experience it, as I get to see it through their eyes and in real time. I mean, I've learned some things in the product feedback loop that, you know, honestly, I wouldn't have caught, you know, and I would think that's kind of a silver lining that's kind of come out of this. And so, you know, that component, I think, is very important. So, you know, bring on the video, you know, get away from the PowerPoint, you know, use it when you have to, but don't make it be the entire meeting. You know, 50 minutes of slides coming at you is why people tune off. You know, when you can have that engagement, you know, it's great. I know you've done some pretty interesting stuff too on, you know, on platforms like web conferencing with polling and stuff that, you know, as I've watched you do training and bring people together, I mean, it really makes the dynamics different, right? Drives engagement.
Yeah, it's amazing when you do an instant poll. I mean, and we're not talking about a Google form or no knock on you, Google, but no, we're not talking about anything like it. You know, using some of the technologies, you know, the video conferencing technologies that are out there, they allow you to do polls to the audience instantaneously. I, you know, to your point, the way that I use it as I'm training SEs or doing anything like that is I see how long am I taking in my video, and I know I almost have that gut feeling what I need to interject, but it's an interjection of a pause or to get the audience attention. And just right there, you know, you launch a poll, and the poll could be as simple as, do you like the product that you currently have today, or do you hate it? Yes or no. And depending on the audience and making that anonymously within that session, people are going to be happy about it, because you can be that master of ceremony saying, hey, let me see what the poll is. Oh, the results came in. Everybody hates their software. Everybody hates their hardware. That's what we're here for. So it breaks the ice when it comes to, you know, starting that first impression or that first meeting, right? The other two things that I would like to share is that, to your point, we will never get away from PowerPoint, but I'm seeing myself doing a lot of interesting tricks with my prospects. For example, I own a Logitech Spotlight presenter. I've had it since 2017. I personally think it's one of the best screen clickers that I've seen in my life. You know, it started with the typical, you know, red laser and the green laser. This is an online, you know, in your screen clicker where it dims the screen, but it spotlights the section that you want the audience to see. So if you picture your prospects being like cats trying to look at a screen, then when they see that spotlight, everybody's looking at that section. The other thing that I use is annotations, whether it's through video conferencing or through PowerPoint, where I have the presentation open and I take a pause and I see that in the screen, I'm writing in the screen using a Wacom card or my iPad with the Apple Pencil and say, Mr. Prospect, this point right here is super important for you. And when I'm talking about that and I'm doing that, again, that's what the prospect remembers. It's a psychological game, but that's what they're going to, you're adding emphasis. And that cinematic and drama and accentuation of you have to see this stays within the prospect's brain.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to ask you, how much stock do you have in Logitech? I swear you sold hundreds of those remotes. I even bought like two for myself. I've bought some for the customers. I mean, they're great icebreakers. I mean, when they first came out, had customers that were mesmerizing you. Like, what is that? And, you know, for $100, it's the greatest leave behind. Every time they play with it, they think of me. So it's like, you know, but I just know you introduced it to me, but you've introduced it to a lot of people. I mean, if Logitech, if you're listening, you know, send this man a t-shirt at least.
Shh, Logitech, we would like sponsorship, but no, that's for another call. Don't worry about it. But no, listen, I can tell you right off the bat, I've closed deals with that Logitech presenter, right? And I've also had, you know, throughout all the engineers that I've hired, either in Latin America or in the East United States, they've seen me present with that in a, whether it's in a new hire training or me doing a one-on-one session. And they're like, I got to get one of those. So if I've trained somebody or if I've hired someone, the chances are high that they do have the Logitech Spotlight Presenter. So you should check it out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, I mean, I think to wrap this section up, can't forget about these fancy backgrounds, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, I think I've seen some of the most interesting Zoom things in the world. The most appetizing ones I think I've seen are sales burrito backgrounds, just personally saying.
But absolutely, you know,
there's new technology on the horizon that's really making even the interactive backgrounds more interesting. And I think that's something for a kind of a future episode that, you know, we may get into, and especially whiteboarding. I think we're going to have to double click on digital whiteboarding and bringing whiteboarding into this new world. You know, I'm a big fan of whiteboarding. But really, you know, this show, we really want people to understand the fact that, you know, pandemic's here. It's probably going to change how we work from this point forward. So embrace it, adapt it, you know, bring it into your repertoire. I mean, the one thing about sales engineers is we never not collect new tools and put it in our toolbox, and then you have it for use, right? And you know, that's the whole purpose of Sales Burrito. And so, you know, looking forward to kind of the next few episodes, we are going to be kind of diving into not only some of those technology pieces, like, you know, how to do digital whiteboarding and whatnot, but we're going to get into the sales cycle. And really, you know, our next episode will be about how to build a champion. What is a champion? How do you build one? And you know, what are you doing with a champion and leveraging them for reference selling, both internally, externally, and then after the sale? And so, you know, we encourage you to tune in. We drop these episodes every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on all the favorite platforms where you listen to podcasts today, whether it be Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, they're out there. You always can always hit us on our social media as well. Everything we're on is at Sales Burrito or salesburrito.com. And we do take feedback from the audience. So, you know, this topic today, we came from feedback, and we're going to keep harnessing those. We have some of you that we're stacking up on our list, but if you have something you want us to tackle, no, not too big, not too small. Plus, we want critical feedback. So, yeah, hit us up and engage with us. And we look forward to your continued participation. And when you get to that 1,000 subscriber mark, we're going to do some pretty cool things. So help us get to that mark. And we look forward to that celebrating that milestone.
Well, on behalf of me and Dave, thank you so much for being part of this podcast. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing. Have a great day, everyone.
We hope you've enjoyed this Sales Burrito Show. Be sure to subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.